This morning, as we continue this Lessons from the Road series, we're jumping into the book of Acts. And I know our Lessons from the Road have really dealt with being on the road with Jesus. And you may think, well, the book of Acts, Jesus is already resurrected by then. He's already ascended back into heaven. And yet we discover in Acts chapter 9 an individual that encountered Jesus on the road. The individual named Saul of Tarsus, known better by the Christian community as Paul, the apostle. And we want to talk about lessons from the road. A lesson I believe that we can all learn from is this road of change. Now, I'm going to admit up front, it's been a long time since I've used a six-letter word for our outline. And so we're going to get through this, fasten your seat belts and hold on. But it really didn't work well to just do the road of cha. And so we're going to do the whole change bit here. But when I think about it, change is one of those things that most of us are a little bit resistant to. Now, there are some changes we want, some changes we like, some changes we long for. Because, well, they benefit us. But most of us, at least, speaking for myself, and I don't think I'm quite as weird as I sometimes act, most of us get used to a pattern. We get ourselves into a comfort zone. And once we're there, we don't like to be disturbed all that much. And this road of change is a road that we walk with Jesus on, where sometimes he kind of prods us and says, it's time to do something different. It's time to examine who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. And on this road of change, as we look at Acts chapter 9, I want to make it very clear, Saul did not think he needed to change. In fact, he thought of himself as one of the top tier supporters of God. I mean, this isn't just some, we think of people needing to change, people needing to repent. We think of the pagans, those that don't believe in God. Not me. But Saul was a believer in God. In fact, he was zealous for God. He believed what he was doing was not only good, but it was godly. But what he was doing was persecuting and killing Christians. You talk about a need for a road of change. But what about us? It's easy to find ourselves on a road and a journey that we began on, and instead of growing, we stay with what we're comfortable with. We're doing good things. We're doing things that we believe honor God. But are they the best things? Are they the things that He wants? Later this summer, we're going to begin in the first Sunday of June. We're going to spend time with the Son. And we're going to spend the summer diving into the Sermon on the Mount. And each week, looking at a different aspect of being who God wants us to be, as defined by Jesus. But before we get there, there's probably this underlying need for us to consider, if I want to be who God wants me to be, how do I need to change? And I believe this lesson from the road in Acts chapter 9 gives us an incredible outline of the change that God calls us to. Not just the change specifically, but the process. Because once we know the process, we can apply it to our life. My change isn't going to be identical to the change that Saul had to make. Your change isn't going to be identical to the change that I have to make. And so to give specifics would not really suit the group as a whole. But to give the process. So we're going to dive into Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And this road of change begins with a road of conviction. Verse 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, his word for Christianity, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. Well, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. This road of conviction says that God's Spirit brings into my life a certainty that something needs to change. We use this word conviction in several different ways in our society. We use it as a court term. You're found guilty of something, you're convicted. You have a conviction on your record. We also use it as a personal term of things that we hold fast to. I won't do this because it's my conviction that it's wrong. I'm convinced fully. And this road of change says that I must be convinced fully by God's word, by his Spirit, of what he wants me to be. Now, there are people in your life that will fill you with all kinds of ideas and thoughts and plans that they will say, this is who you ought to be. This is what you ought to do with your life. And some of that may be good advice. But this road of conviction says I need to be fully convinced, not by the people in my life as much as by God and his word. Saul had been convinced by his upbringing, by his training, by his education, that the way to please God was to do away with those who follow Jesus. He was wrong. But he was convinced. And it took Jesus himself convicting him of what was wrong. And that's why it's important that we spend time with God's word. We make Bible reading calendars available every year that if you follow that plan, it gets you through the entire Bible in a year. We do that not to keep you busy, but because we believe that the power of God's word to convict is real. And it's definitely more powerful than my ability to convict you, my ability to convince you of what is good and right and proper. My ability to do that is only through the medium of God's word. And so we spend time in this road of change looking for the conviction of God's Spirit. It says, why are you doing what you're doing? Sometimes that's a powerful question to ask ourselves. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it because it's from God? Or is it just me? Saul was faced with that road of conviction. But not only was it a road of conviction, it's also a road of humility. Sometimes we're convicted of something through God's Spirit, through the words and counsel of others, and we harden our hearts. And we say, I know, but I kind of like it the way it is. I know I ought to, but it's too hard. And it's in this spirit of humility, this road of humility, that we allow the conviction to take root and to grow. Continuing on, verse 7, Acts chapter 9. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. And so they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, that sounds like an incredible task. Wow, God, you want me to go and help a person find you? Wasn't quite Ananias' response. Verse 13. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. God, I can't do that. This man's trouble. Verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. This road of change requires a road of humility that says God's in charge, whether I understand it or not. It's a road that Saul had to travel. This leader, responsible for causing havoc among the Christian community, doing it in the name of God, all of a sudden, not only hearing the voice of Jesus questioning him, but being struck blind. Relying on someone else to lead him, to humble himself and trust that those leading would lead in the right direction. This road of change says, I'm humbling myself, I'm allowing God's Spirit, His Word, His servants to lead me in the way that I ought to go, rather than in the way that I want to go. And then Ananias. Fear. We often think of pride being the opposite of humility, and they definitely contrast with each other. But many times it isn't pride that keeps us from being humble as much as it's fear that keeps us from being humble. If I submit to God, if I submit to someone else, what if they want me to do something I don't want to do? And this road of change says it's a road of humility that recognizes whether I understand it, whether I like it, whether I agree with it, I'm not the one in charge. That's the heart of humility. Jesus defines it in the Bible as considering others and the needs of others to be more important than my own. And the message to Ananias from God was the need of Saul was more important than his own sense of safety. There was work to be done. The work of change required conviction, but it also required humility. This road of change not only requires the conviction and humility, but those elements ought to work together to bring us to a road of action. It's one thing to know in your mind what you ought to do. It's one thing to know in your mind the humility of submitting to what you ought to do. It's a whole other thing at times to actually do it. I thought about it, but I was tired. I thought about it, but I was busy. Picking up in verse 17, we find the action that takes place. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And then Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. The conviction and the humility led Saul to a place, to a house of Judas on Straight Street. Sometimes I love the details that God's word gives us, and he could have just said he went to a house in Damascus. But he kind of gives his address. And I think part of that was given to us because it was given to Ananias so that he wouldn't claim, "I looked, but I couldn't find him." No, this is where you go. And so the conviction and the humility brought Ananias to a point of action that he went to where God said to go to. He did it. He may have been shaking in his boots or his sandals or whatever he might have been wearing, but he did it anyhow. And for us to change in the way that God wants us to change, it requires that we take the conviction of God and the humility of His Spirit and we do what He asks us to do. Through Saul's obedience to being led to this specific place and interacting with Ananias, his sight was restored. And it wasn't, "Okay, I can see again, I'm out of here." "I can see again. Now, God, help me to really see." It says he spent several days with the disciples. I believe he spent several days with the disciples learning, perhaps spending several days apologizing, several days recognizing. But he spent those days active with others so that his change could be evident. It's one thing to claim that we've changed. It's one thing to say, "Yeah, I'm a different person now," and then just disappear. Well, who knows that you're a different person? You can say that all you want. But God says a tree is known by its fruit. A disciple is known by their actions. And this road of change requires that some point on this road that we're doing what we say we're supposed to be doing. We're doing what God says we ought to be doing. And on this road of change, we experience the conviction, the humility, the action, and because of that, we experience what others experience. Notice. They notice what we're doing. They notice the change. They notice that something's different. They begin to ask themselves, "Could this really be that same person?" Well, you talk about change. Saul goes from persecuting and killing Christians to representing Jesus around the world. It didn't happen overnight. Sometimes we read through the book of Acts and it looks like he went from this story to missionary journey immediately. And it took years of learning and of submitting and of being faithful. But picking up in verse 20, we see what not only Saul noticed, but what others noticed. And at once, while not out traveling and not out representing, he felt compelled to share what he did know. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all who heard him were astonished. They took notice and asked, "Wait a minute. Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on this name? Isn't this the man that has come to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" They noticed something was different. They noticed the similarity to a man that once killed Christians. They noticed a change. And this road of change, as we apply the conviction of God's word as his spirit, as we humble ourselves before God, as we act more Christ-like by the power of his spirit, people notice that something's different. What do others notice about your life? Not only was it the people listening, it says in verse 22, "Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ." And after many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him, but his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. The people noticed. And those who were once companions of Saul noticed. The crowds, the Jewish Christians, those who had come to follow Jesus, liked what they saw. Skeptical a little bit at first, but they liked what they saw. Saul's old companions did not like what they saw. They noticed and they believed that his turning to Jesus was a threat to their very existence. They knew the power with which Saul had lived, the influence which he had held over people. And they noticed that if this man proclaims Jesus, it's going to turn the world upside down. They sought to kill him. And yet Saul persisted in living this life of change. Our conviction, our humility, our action ought to lead people to notice Jesus at work in our life in such a way that they can't ignore it. And there will be some that are pleased by it. There will be some that aren't. And while people notice, it isn't their notice that we live for. It isn't their notice that directs how we live. We continue to live by faith. We continue to represent Jesus. This road of change also involves a road of gentleness. When people notice our change, when they notice God at work in us, how we respond is different than how the world responds. Saul's response to unbelievers by this new definition of those that did not know Jesus was much more gentle than his response to unbelievers by his previous definition of those that, well, rejected Jesus. Our life ought to be filled with a change that not only is noticed, but that is gentle with those that are struggling. Picking up verse 26, "When he," that is Saul, "came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him." not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Fear was a natural response. But in the midst of fear, one person stood out with a gentle spirit. Barnabas, known as an encourager, says, no, this man speaks what he lives, and he lives what he speaks. Instead of living by fear, Barnabas brought gentleness into the equation. Sometimes we live life in a certain way, and we've hurt people. And they don't want anything to do with us anymore. And we want to force our way back in. I'm a different person now. God says you have to love me. You have to accept me. We become very adamant, when gentleness takes us a lot further. And sometimes it's not us. It's the people we know that God wants us to be gentle with, to help them as they turn to God, as they respond to the invitation of Jesus, to help them find that place to call home, that place of belonging. You see, this road of change involves conviction, it involves humility, it involves action, it involves notice, being noticed. It involves gentleness, but it leads us as a changed person to a road of encouragement. We're changed so that we can encourage others with the same encouragement that we ourselves have received from Christ. The transformation of Saul to the Apostle Paul was done not just for his benefit, but so that the Gentiles may be encouraged to follow the living God. Verse 28 to 31. I'm going to finish out this section. After Barnabas, through this gentleness, had brought Saul into the gathering of the disciples in Jerusalem, it says, so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus, his hometown. And then the church throughout Judea, throughout Galilee, throughout Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. And it was strengthened. And it was encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers, living in fear of the Lord. As we walk with Jesus on this road of change, we are encouraged. His Spirit encourages us. His Word encourages us. His people encourage us. But again, the Christian walk is not about us. It's about Jesus. And it ought to be about us encouraging others. As we are changed more and more into the likeness of Jesus, it's a process. It's not blink one morning, you're repulsive to people, and the next morning, everybody wants to be around you. It's a process. God's Spirit works within us in such a way that daily, those new mercies every day are necessary because, well, we sin. We fall short. We stumble. Not just between us and God, but between us and one another. And we encourage one another. In fact, the Bible says that we ought to encourage one another more and more as we see the day of the return of Christ approaching. And this road of change says, I don't come to church. I don't come to a worship gathering just to get something out of it. I come to give. I come to give my praise to God. I come to give my encouragement to others. I come to be a part of the family. And this road of change brought Saul from a life dedicated to destroying the family of God to a life dedicated to encouraging the family of God. So much of the New Testament we have today because of this road of change, where Saul became Paul, and God made it his business to speak through Paul to encourage the believers then, to encourage us. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, it's kind of a personal question. What do you need to change? It's not a question I necessarily know the answer to. It's not a question that I necessarily have to know the answer to. God knows. He knows that very first thought that came into your mind when I asked that. And perhaps that was that thought that you pushed to the back really quickly because you don't want to change it. Sometimes we know we need to change, but the change is too big. So the question is, what is it God would want you to work on today? A today step. What is His Spirit convicting you of? What is His leading in humility guiding you to? What action is He requiring? Is He asking you of? What does He want people to see in you that they're not seeing right now? What spirit of gentleness do you need to grow in? What encouragement do you need to receive? Do you need to give? If you're here this morning, if you're joining us online and you've never surrendered to Jesus, you've never encountered Jesus on any road, to have His Spirit convict you of sin and the need to repent, to change your mind, to have your sins washed away, to be cleansed fully, that's where this road of change begins. I'd love to talk with you about that decision, about that need. And in a few moments, we're going to sing a song of decision. You can join me in the room to my left and we can begin that conversation. If you're joining us online, you can send a message through any of the social media outlets that we're using. Call the church, set up a time that we can begin that conversation. But I say each week, we gather for the most part because we've made that decision. We've allowed Jesus to change us initially. And our decision today has more to do with those day-to-day changes. What's that next step? How do I live more and more daily as a disciple of Jesus that represents Him, that encourages others? If you're here this morning and you need someone to pray with you about those decisions, about anything, You're also welcome to join me in the room to my left and we can pray together. You're always welcome to find somebody near you and say, hey, would you pray with me? And pray where you're at. Go off into another room and pray. Schedule, arrange to meet after church or sometime during the week and just encourage one another and pray together. But change, it's inevitable. The question is, will we walk the road of change that leads us closer to Jesus? Or will we create our own road that leads us away from Him? It's your decision for you. It's my decision for me. Would you stand as we sing?